الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum, arrahmatullahi wabarakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to your authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. And one of the reasons I like to have your Quran near you, because I like you to follow along with me, if that's your textbook for this class. And I'd like you to follow along with me. And when I read something, I might read it in Arabic, I might read it in English, or both. But I want you to follow along with me and keep in mind that the Quran is in Arabic. And so maybe many of you do not understand the Arabic language, can't read it or be able to interpret it. And so other people have took the time and done rough translations of Quran in various languages, French, Spanish, Urdu, and the like. So you can go ahead and pick one of those Qurans up and read it. And eventually, hopefully, you start learning Arabic. And learning what the Quran, the essence of what Quran is saying to you, what Allah, Kalam Allah, the words of Allah is saying to you, or speaking to your heart, or speaking to your soul. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners, our new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic will be friends, because we have to be very, very careful about who we choose to be our friends. Because these people are very important to us or to our life. And I'll talk about the friends that some people are on Facebook or Meta. I'm not talking about those people who say, okay, I have so many thousands or hundreds of friends that I have. Okay, that's what you call them on Facebook, for example. I'm not knocking Facebook. It has some good to it. And, of course, it has some bad to it on both sides. But the thing is that when you're talking about friends, you're talking about people who are your companions, that are next to you, that hang out with you, and all the various definitions, you can look it up for yourself, what defines what a friend is. Because even if you look at, for example, I'm only using Facebook for example, is that you can have all these hundreds and hundreds of friends on Facebook, but then when it comes to your janazah or your funeral, how many friends do you have at your funeral? You really won't know. I look at people who are on social media or on Facebook. Do they have hundreds and hundreds of people as their friends at their funeral? Allah knows best. I don't know. Allah knows best. Allahu alam. And so you could turn to chapter 10, verse 62. Again, that's chapter 10, verse 62, where Allah, I'm going to read it in English because we don't have a lot of time. And Allah says, beware, the friend of Allah has nothing to fear or to regret. Again, you want someone to be your companion, your friend? Make Allah your friend. Make God your friend. Obey what Allah says. And when Allah said don't do something, you don't do that thing. That's it. You want a great companion that they're all the time, then rely on Allah no matter what. Because you're placed by yourself, and then the second one would be there, would be Allah. You're three people, there are three people there, the fourth person would be the first one present would be Allah. One time the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, when he was escaping from Mecca to Medina, the people in Mecca, they were really harsh on him, and they were really out to kill him. And so he was, he sent some companions to Medina, and he followed after them to go to Medina. And he had one companion with him, and that was Abu Bakr. And then they hid in the cave, and in that cave, Abu Bakr, of course, he was a little concerned. Okay? The people right outside the mouth of the cave, the entrance to the cave, they may see us or hear us. And so the Prophet, may peace upon him, said, don't worry about it. How can, Allah knows that he's our protector, he's our friend. Well, you have two, the Prophet and Abu Bakr, then Allah is the third. Allah is going to protect. And Allah, there's something very, very simple to protect the people from going inside a cave. First of all, he had the spider spin a web at the entrance of the cave, and also a bird have a nest near the entrance of the cave. And so no way would a spider put a web there and it undisturbed, and no way would a bird endanger itself or put its chicks in danger or the smaller birds in danger by having a nest there. It's not really safe there at the entrance. And so they had those two things, very simple creatures that Allah created to protect two of the most beloved by Allah, was the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and of course his father-in-law Abu Bakr Siddiq. So you want to have a good friend, no matter what, that's going to be Allah. No matter what's going on in your life, you want to have Allah to be your friend. God to be your friend. A lot of people will they say your friend, you get in trouble, you look for them, they're no place to be found. They had a nice, it's not a poem, but a very, very nice little, I'm going to call it poem for right now, because I don't know what else to call it. And where the man was basically saying, praying to God, he said, look, God, when everything is good, I think it's called footprints in the sand. And when everything is good, I see two sets of footprints in the sand. And this is not from Islam or anything like that. It just kind of tells you all, basically give you a visual of what I'm talking about here. And so he said to Lord, when everything is good and I'm happy, everything is fine, I see two footprints in the sand, like you walking beside me. And so, but then when I'm in trouble, I'm in need, or something heavy on me, then I only see one set of footprints in the sand. And so basically he wanted to know what's going on with that. Where are you? And basically, the response is my creation. The reason you see basically one footprint in the sand when everything is going bad for you is that at that point I'm carrying you, and your friend should be the one that's going to carry you, that's going to look out for you, going to be there by your side and give you great advice, not give you bad advice. Because maybe some of us should think about, maybe it's time to change friends, and it's okay to change friends or have more supportive friends around or near you. It's okay to do that. If you want to do that, that will be your choice. Also in chapter 7 verse 196, again chapter 7 verse 196, I'm gonna give you some time to get to that. Hopefully it won't be that much, because you just left from 10 and you go three chapters down. Again, that's chapters 7 verse 196, and Allah says, my protector is Allah, who has revealed this book, and he is protecting friend of the righteous. So you want Allah to be your protector? He revealed the book, Quran, Kitab Allah. And also, he is a protective friend of the righteous. Be a righteous person. Be a patient person. Do good things to help individuals. Be as pious, as righteous as you possibly can. And then what it says here, he is protecting friend of the righteous. The law will protect. Allah will be with you. You just got to be with Allah. It's a simple thing. If you don't do it today, then plan to do it after I finish, as you finish listening to me. Start now. Don't wait tomorrow, put it over. I'm going to start next week after I go to the party or anything like that. No. We listen to what Allah Ta'ala say now. You want Allah to be your friend now, because you never know when you're going to die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatu maut. Every soul have a taste of death. We just don't know when, where, how we're going to die. But for surely, everyone is going to die. Each and every one of us listen to my voice, and of course myself. And so we all are going to die. It's just where we're going to die, how we're going to die, that kind of thing. None of us knows. But many of us probably want to die as peacefully as possible in our sleep, whatever. But we don't know how we're going to die, and what form we're going to die, and what's going to cause our death. And the main cause of death is Allah. So I'm going to move on. But you want Allah to be by your side and be your protected friend. Also, it's mentioned in verse 43, chapter 43, verse 38. I let you get to that, because it's going to be a little while to get to that. Again, because you're going from 7 until 40, until 43. I'm sorry if I said anything wrong. Again, that's chapter 43, verse 38. One more time, chapter 43, verse 38. So go ahead and turn to your Quran. And I'm sorry if I confuse you any. And it says here, ultimately, when that person will come to us on the day of judgment, he will say to his shaitan companion, I wish that I was far apart from you as the east is from the west. You turn out to be an evil companion. So be careful that we don't make shaitan, may Allah curse him, or Iblis, or the devil, whatever we don't call him. I don't know what different names people have for them in different cultures or different languages. But we don't want shaitan to be our companion. And we can't, and it'd be too late on the day of judgment, say, oh, had I known, you're knowing now, because I'm telling you, read Quran, it clearly tell you, and that if had I known, I wouldn't been far away from you, that the east is from the west. You've turned out to be an evil companion. You try to make shaitan your friend, your companion, the devil your friend or your companion, and it turned out to be evil. And on the day of judgment, Shaitan is going to say, he said, look, Allah, all I did was suggest to them. I could not make them do anything. Shaitan cannot make any of us do anything. Sometimes we're so evil when we do things, it's like you say, whoa, it's like Shaitan in person. But the thing is, all Shaitan can do is advise you or suggest things to you. Or do this, or she hit you, hit her back. Or they stole from you, go steal from them. Or they took your life, your son's life, go take their life. All these different things that Shaitan puts into your head. No one watches, go ahead and steal. God is not real. Go ahead and worship the stone, the idols you just made out of stone, or wood, or clay, or whatever you made it out of. And all Shaitan going to do on the day of judgment is say, hey, look, Allah, I didn't make them do anything. Shaitan did not move your hands or your feet or your eyes. He just made a suggestion of you doing something, and you're the one carrying it through. We don't want to be that person that when we come on the day of judgment, and Shaitan, and we say it about his companion, Shaitan, I wish that I was far apart from you as the east is from the west. You turn out to be an evil companion. So we don't want to be friends with Shaitan, or Shaitan would be our evil companion. And also, we do not want to turn away from Allah, or this might happen to us if we turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or turn away from God. And this is going to be in chapter 43, verse 36. Again, chapter 43, verse 36. So you're really in that chapter right now, 43, and just go down to verse 36. And it says, He who turns away from remembrance of a reminder of the compassionate Allah, we assign a shaitan for him. he becomes his intimate companion. So we don't want this to happen to any of us. That Allah, we don't remember Allah. We don't remember compassionate. And Allah assigned a shaitan to us. Or we may even assign one to ourselves by the actions that we do. And so we don't want to be the person that Allah assigns as our intimate companion, shaitan. And then we say on the day of judgment, I wish that I was far apart from you as the east is from the west. You turn out to be an evil companion. We don't want to be that war with me on that day because it'll be too late. So we have nine now to change that thought pattern, that paradigm, to something that is more positive and got to be beneficial to us in this world and beneficial to us in the next world. And also, it was mentioned in another verse in the Quran. It's going to be in chapter 25, verse 27 through 29. Again, chapter 25, verse 27 through 29. So I'm going to wait till you to get there because you got to go from 43 to 25. And please, have your Quran next to you. Don't run and look for it now. Have your Quran next to you. And don't just use it just for class. Use it anytime you want to use it. It's just that you can't, you should not read your Quran in the restroom or bathroom or anything like that. So it's got some rules and regulations pertaining to the Quran. I think I mentioned it before in one of my other episodes about some of the rules and regulations pertaining to where and when you read the Quran. But one of the main things, okay, you don't want to read it in the bathroom. You sit on tall or whatever, and it's going to be like a bathroom magazine for you. Let me look through it while I'm here. No, you look through it later on after you get through telling your business, and then ask Allah to open your heart to what is being said. You put all your thoughts about what you think Islam is, just put it on the shelf. Like I want you to do when you come to this class. That way you can be open-hearted, open to what I have to say. I am not here to convince you of anything. I'm just here to present what Islam is, and then let it be. That's it. That is not my goal here, to make you Muslim, because I cannot make you Muslim. I can only tell you what Islam is and pray Allah that it sink into your heart and to your mind. It makes sense to you. And then you say, oh, well, this makes sense. I think I want to know more about it. So you can learn out more about it. Again, so you should be already to chapter 25, verse 27 and 29. And it says, on that day, the wrongdoer will bite his hand, saying, oh, would that I had only taken the pathway alongside the Rasul, meaning the Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessing upon him. Oh, would that I had chosen, never chosen so-and-so for my companion. He was the one who led me astray from the admonition, even after it had reached me. Shaitan is ever a treacherous to man. And so here you, man, like, man, biting his hand and like, oh, man, I made a big mistake. And so he didn't follow the path of the Prophet. But they follow the path of Shaitan, and Shaitan has not going to do anything but mislead. Even Allah said that Shaitan in the Quran, where it talks about where Allah told everyone, everything to bow down to Adam, and Shaitan said, I'm not going to bow down to that. This is like he made out of clay, and I'm made out of spokes of fire. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bow down to it. And then Allah asked her, why are you not bowing down? And, you know, I'm better than it. Basically, he was the first arrogant one. And then Allah cursed upon him, and Allah gave him respite because he said, oh Allah, you know, I'm going to mislead those who are not going to, who are going to refuse to follow you. I'm going to be the one to do that. And he said, oh, Allah said, look, you'll be able to mislead some of them, but not all of them. All of them, you will not be able to misguide or mislead all of them, but some of you may be able to do that. And then, of course, they will end up being a companion with Shaitan in the hellfire. And so basically that's what we talk about here. We want to make sure that we are not the one of the ones that are going astray and follow the Shaitan and remember Allah very much. Also, there was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that the example of a good companion who sits with you in a comparison with a bad one, it is is I like that of the must, or like the must seller and the blacksmith. I mean, the bellows are the ones at the furnace. From the first, you will either buy must or enjoy its good smell, while the bellows will either burn your clothes or your house, or you get a bad, nasty smell thereof. And so here we're seeing that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, well, you got two types of companions. You got one companion, which is the one that has the musk seller, M-U-S-K, sells the oil, perfume, whatever, and he may sell it to you. He may give you some. Just being around that individual, and they may brush off on you. I know sometimes when I'm around certain men, I may shake their hand, or I might my hand smell like whatever oil they put on them. Or if I have oil, probably the same thing with them. Or the other thing is I might smell it on them or in their clothing, and we know that smells good. But the thing is, on the other hand, a person who is a blacksmith, being a blacksmith is a very honorable job, and I'm not saying it isn't. But the thing is, in this example, it's like you may get the soot on you, may burn your clothes, that sort of thing, or having bad people. Not the blacksmith is bad, but having bad people around you, you're gonna get some kind of smell from them. Are you gonna follow them? Are you gonna be like them? And so we have to be careful about our friends. Each and every one of us, you and me, we have to be careful who we take as our friends and our friends and our companions or our sahaba. It is also mentioned by the Prophet and peace be upon him, he said that the best friend in the sight of Allah is he who is a well-wisher of his companions. And the best neighbor is the one who behaves best towards his neighbor. And so we basically see from this, in the sight of Allah, the best friend is the one who well-wishes his companion. Because in Islam it says, you want for your brother what you want for yourself, you wish for your brother what you wish for yourself. That's the best companion to have. For me to have a friend that prays for me, that looking out for me, really want the best for me, and I want the best for him or her. This is what I want. I want to be companions in paradise. That's what I want for him or for this individual that is my friend, according to the friend in Islam. I want to be the best neighbor and best neighbor towards my neighbor. And I advise you all to do the same thing. Be best to your neighbors. And some of you may be non-Muslim, listen to me. Okay, well, still be best to your neighbors. It's not just for Muslims to be best to their neighbors. I'm talking with Muslims and non-Muslims to be best to your neighbors. It doesn't really cost you anything. Let me move on. And it's also mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, a man follows the religion of his friend. So each one should consider whom he makes his friend. And so again, you follow the behavior of your companion, of your friend. You think because you're Muslim, you're going to be able to influence them, but maybe they may be the one to influence you. Or you may be a Muslim that is not practicing correctly, and so they may influence you to also not practice Islam correctly. And please remember, my students, is that Islam is perfect. Allah said that he perfected this deen, this religion. But Muslims are not. They do a lot of things that are not perfect. You decide to come into Islam, then you want to be the best Muslim that you could possibly be. Take some of the things from these people and the bad thing that they do, you leave it alone. Maybe you can be a good example for them by you coming into Islam and doing as much as possible, the best you can, what Allah says to do, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, tells you to do. And you be on the hopefully be among the right that guide it, and then you pull your friend or you pull other Muslims on that same path, that same Allah Tariq. You want to pull them on the same path as you're trying to go towards Allah. And also, I want to mention, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, My close friend advised me, may peace be upon him, advised me, do not drink wine, for it is the key unto all evils. Here the prophet, may peace be upon him, he advised this individual, Abu Dhar, do not drink. And that's what you want a companion. Do not drink, for it is the key to all evils. Or do not drink wine. So we want, that's the kind of companion we want around us. If I'm getting ready to drink something, or the black man law, keep that away from me. I seek refuge law from that. Is that I'm getting ready to do something, drink something, smoke something, whatever. Then that person is going to stop me. So stop me from doing it, because it's not good for me and not good for my family and not good for my friends. I might influence them to want to do the same thing. Or my friend may offer me something. And I say, no, I can't do that. Islamically, I cannot do that. Oh, come on, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay for me to do that, because Islam says for me not to do that. The Prophet said it, may peace be upon him, and Allah says, don't do it. And so I can't do it. And so you decide to embrace Islam. That, of course, your choice. No one can make you, no compulsory in religion. You're not compelled to be a Muslim, or we make you Muslim. But once you become Muslim, then, of course, you're compelled to do what Islam tells you to do to the best of your ability. And anything that you do wrong or misguided in any kind of way, you ask Allah to guide you back. I want to read this last one, and then I will stop. And that is, the supplication which gets the quickest answer is that made by one distant friend for another. This is very beautiful. I want my friends to make supplication for me and ya Allah, forgive him, Imam Amin. So I want them to do that, and I want to do the same for them. Or those individuals by my friends that already did, I'm alive still, I can supplicate for them, and may Allah help them and any relief, and give relief from them if anyone is suffering in the grave, and grant them Jannah. And so I can make those kind of dua because of supplication, because I'm alive. And only thing that's going to, if I'm dead, only thing that's going to benefit me is a righteous son, or any sadaqa that I give, or any continuing sadaqa that I give. For example, I gave money towards a school, and the school was still operating, still teaching the kids, or whatever. Then I'm benefiting in my from that in my grave. So I still can benefit. What you call sadaqa jariyah, I can still do some benefit even while I'm laying in my grave. But my beautiful students, I just want to advise you, evaluate yourself. Evaluate the friends that you have. Are they beneficial friends to you? And are you a beneficial friend to them? Are you a good advisor to them? Or telling them not to do something that is wrong and stay on the right path? Or are you one that just follows the leader? They're going to tell you what to do. You're not going to tell them what to do. Or they're older than me, or whatever excuse you use to follow them. It's not going to be enough excuse when you go before your Lord as to why you did what you did, and why you follow them. When I told you to do this as your Lord and Creator, and you did something else, and you followed this individual. And Allah may say, go to hell with both of you, meaning go to hell for both of you, not like cussing, to go to hell for both of you and your friend who advised you to do such and such. And so be very careful about who is your friend. And so you need to reevaluate who your friends are. And maybe some you may have to think about, well, maybe they're not as beneficial as I think. And maybe I need to consider maybe changing being their friend, or bringing other people into your life that become more supportive of you in the next life. But that's what it's all about. Not all about this life here. It's we use this life, which is very short, to prepare for the next life. And so I want as many friends around me as possible. I want as many friends that's going to pray for me while I'm in my grave. Or while they bury me, and then maybe they think about me when they're making dua, when they're up at night, or they're making supplications to Allah, and they think about me and know that I'm dead or whatever, and pray for me. Or just pray for me while I'm alive. That's okay too. Because we can make supplication for our friends while we're alive. And then the angel said, the same to you. Whatever I'm asking for my friend, and whatever it may be, that is good, of course. Then the angel said, basically saying the same to you. And like a man was on out, and I start with this, a man was on the way to see a friend, and then Allah dispatched an angel. He said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see a friend in so-and-so town. He said, well, if this friend, do you owe him anything? He owe you anything? Anything like that? You know, yeah. So he thought it was a payback something. He said, no, he owe anything. I just want to see him. He's my friend. I love him. And then he said, I'm the angel from Allah. He sent me to tell you Allah love, like you love your friend, Allah also loves you. Or something along that path, that way in terms of, because I was running out of time, so I had to kind of condense as much as possible. But please check it out and see, and maybe reevaluate your friends. Are they good for you? Or are they bad for you? You have been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your host, Imam Hassan Al-Amin, Hassan Al-Amin. And please, hopefully you all be back for class next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.